Okay, recording.
Hello and welcome to edition 274 of the NR F1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. And we are here with our 2020 season review, albeit a bit different to the usual ones we do, but it's as it has been all season, really. I'm Richard Baxter. Joining me on tonight's pod, we have Lewis Hamilton fanatic and Prediction League specialist, Steve Rust.
Evening.
And also joining us tonight is two times Beckles Kart champion, the Oracle, Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
Hello, how are you guys doing? You both doing good?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, just as we're about to enter the Tier 4 restrictions, obviously, in a few days' time. But yeah, you're safe and keeping well?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, Christmas around the corner, so can't be too bad.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We should say, obviously, we're recording this on Christmas Eve, so we'll have it out this evening. So hopefully everyone listening, hopefully you're all doing great, and you all have a great Christmas as well. It's obviously been a little while since we've done a podcast. It's been a few weeks because, well, let's be honest, the Abu Dhabi race, in my opinion, wasn't that great. I even named it Abu Drabi. So we should talk about it, guys. Any quick word you want to talk? You know, want to mention?
I mean, I normally can find a positive out of the Grand Prix, and something I find interesting. But yeah, that was hard to find anything exciting out of that race. I suppose McLaren getting third was in the constructors was kind of a little bit of an interest, but that seemed quite sealed early on when Perez had his blow up. And then, well, not a full blur, it was a turn off. Stroll wasn't really up to much, was he? So, yeah, that was really an interesting bit, really. And yeah, a bit of a dull end to a very good season.
Very true. Well, I think that perfectly wrapped up Abu Dhabi. So, there is the Abu Dhabi review. Straight on next, we need to go into our season review. Now, 2020 Formula 1 season, a season like no other. It was mental. We're still, you know, it's Christmas, we're still talking about it. What did you think, guys? I mean, I thought, to be honest, it was some of the best racing we've seen in recent years.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it made it, with the whole COVID situation, obviously it made it very different, started very late. I think from the first race, to be honest, from what little I could remember, actually, I think there was some of the drivers were a little bit ropey with being sort of time off. We had, of the races that we normally see on the calendar, there were some pretty good races in that. There weren't too many sort of processional ones, but what probably for me made it is all of the tracks that we went to wouldn't normally go to. All of those were absolutely cracking races.
Yeah,
and that's what made it such a good season for me, more than anything.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, the season was not so close in terms of a championship fight at the end. You know, Hamilton kind of ran away with it, but there was a lot of excitement with the unpredictability going race to race, simply because of these new tracks we had on the calendar. I mean, back to Istanbul, we obviously had Mugello, we had Portimao come in, Imola, yeah. You know, first time there in use. It was great to see these racetracks in Formula 1.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are old school circuits and things like that, you know, and some of them had been a very long time since we had raced there. And it kind of really begged the question as to whether at least one of them should really be on the, you know, the calendar permanently, or maybe all of them should in some way or another. But yeah, you know, I guess that's a bigger question for another day, perhaps. But yeah, I mean, they were terrific. I mean, when they first started coming up on the calendar, I must admit, one or two of them I actually had to kind of like look up, really, because I sort of thought, well, sure, I do know that track. I had to sort of look up where some of them were, and then looked at the last time that we raced there, and some of them was kind of really before my time of watching Formula One. So, but yeah, they were absolutely cracking. You know, but outside of those tracks that we wouldn't normally go to, I mean, we had a cracking Silverstone race. Hamilton with his last couple of lap puncture, and that one kind of stands out, obviously, for me. I think we did actually have a pretty good Spa race as we normally do. Hungaroring, that was always another good one that we had this year. But yeah, it's probably apart from Abu Dhabi, the last one, which was pretty dull. I don't think I can recall any other dull ones. So it's, yeah, it's been a really good season.
Yeah, it's a shame. Obviously, some of the actual circuits that we enjoy. I mean, I don't know about you, Albert Park. I always enjoy going there, and then China as well. That's always a good race.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed we weren't able to see sort of what Vietnam had come up with, because that was going to be the second race, I think, or something like that.
It was early in the calendar, wasn't it?
Yeah, very early, and we didn't get to see that, because I think that was going to be like a part track, part street circuit from memory. So we didn't get to see that. Obviously, we didn't get, like you say, didn't get to go to China or Australia. Despite all of that, I really enjoyed it. It was really good.
And credit to Formula One with everything that's going on with the worldwide pandemic. They got a Formula One season of 17 races in this. It's about four or five shorter than it's supposed to be, I think. Next year they've got 23 scheduled.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I wondered whether we would have a Formula One season at one stage or another. I mean, with other events like the sort of the football got cancelled until maybe next year, Olympics, etc. So I wondered whether we would really see it. I knew it would probably be possible to hold maybe a small amount of races, but could you really kind of call it a championship if you're just having three or four races? But they really worked tremendously hard, obviously, to go to circuits that we wouldn't normally be prepared to go to. And I mean, we did some weekends, I think we did three back to back, which is asking a lot of everyone. They threw together, a calendar that they didn't expect to obviously be producing, in no time, and they managed to get it all in before any major changes certainly happened in Europe, which happened very quickly after we just finished in the European part of this kind of one-off calendar. Mm. I think they've done really well, to be honest, because, like I said, I did not really expect to see a season. I thought it would just be cancelled and we would look into next year. So, yeah, hats off to them in my book on that. They've done really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle, what did you make of it all with all the racing?
Yeah, I mean, as Steve said, I'm just glad that there was an F1 season after, I said, starting in July, and that, as you said, to get 17 races in. In that short period of time, when I first started watching Formula One, there was probably 15, 16 in the season. In fact, to get 17 and, I don't know, was it half a dozen new tracks? Or adjustments?
I think it was five.
Yeah, so you had Mugello, didn't you? Nürburgring, Imola, Portugal, isn't there? Turkey? Yeah, so yeah, five. And even like, I remember doing like preview, and I think eight had been named at that point, and you were sort of wondering how many you would have, and the fact to get 17 was amazing. And also, even like the back to two races in Austria, two races at Silverstone, didn't you, and two in Bahrain, and even that, you sort of worried beforehand, was it just going to be the same sort of the same as the previous weekend, but that all ended up working fine. It was just a mega year, really. Obviously, a shame there's no fans, and a real shame we didn't go to Holland as well.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're having fun with all the Dutch fans cheering on Max Verstappen. But it seemed to be a well organised thing the whole season. I suppose that's part of the great thing about Formula One and the sort of history and in their DNA is that if they need to get something sorted quickly, they can do it. And I think that helped. And also, one of the Austrian Grand Prix, the first race, was sort of probably the first sort of global sporting event following the initial outbreak. So it's fair to Formula One and Liberty and whoever else, and all the tracks as well that adapted as well. They've done really well.
No, that's very true. So we might as well jump straight in. We're going to do what we've done the last couple of seasons, I think it is, and we're going to do our season review with the NRF1 podcast season awards. We should just say, usually we get to tweet these to the drivers and congratulate them in person for their achievements, or, you know, maybe not, depending on the, you know, depending which award it is, you'll soon find out. So keep an eye on our social media. Feel free to get involved if you think we made a wrong decision or you want your say. There's loads of ways to get in touch with us. Just probably the best place to start, patreon.com/nrf1, patreon.com/nrf1. You'll find all of our latest podcasts, usually the extended editions, but as this is the season review, it's obviously all different. For social media, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The handle for all three of those is at @thenrf1. Email us as well. The address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitch. Just search the NRF1, and that's all one word. So, we may as well jump straight in. Our season awards. The first one, race of the season. So, our favourite race of the season. Guys, nominations, please.
There was probably too many.
That's quite hard, because I was looking at the stats, like, just before we start recording, like, the amount of podium, amount of drivers that were on the podium, it was 13, so even though it was quite a standard year for Hamilton, there was quite a lot of, what should we say, peculiar races, or races that checked up surprises, so it's hard to pick one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
one, I'll start it off. One of them I will throw in the ring. And this is the Italian Grand Prix at Monza. So, yeah, you might remember it, you might not, but there was Pierre Gasly who won, Carlos Sainz in second. It was quite an exciting race.
Yeah. That's a very good shout, yeah. I think my shout, I think we have to do the Turkish Grand Prix.
Turkish?
Yeah. Okay, no idea really who's going to win it for most of the race. A great track, really tricky conditions, and obviously then a world champion was announced for the seventh time, so that'd be one of my options. But like I say, I mean, Portugal Grand Prix was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Portuguese Grand Prix, especially the start, the first few laps of that race was mad.
Yeah, as was the race at Mugello as well. Emilia Romagna Grand Prix.
I mean, from watching that track, the MotoGP, you obviously could tell it was an amazing track, but I wasn't too sure the racing was going to be good for Formula 1, but I was glad to be proven wrong there. obviously had that huge crash in your... That's quite early in the race, wasn't it? First 10 laps, wasn't it?
Yeah,
crash and the start finish straight, isn't there?
Yeah.
Even the Sakhir Grand Prix was a bit mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was exciting as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be my vote.
Sakhir.
Yeah, I was going to go for an out there one, because there was, for me, there was just too many that I could easily sort of say that one. Previous years, I believe I probably said Silverstone, and yeah, it was good this year, but I'm not going to say that. I would rather say one of the sort of five of the newer sort of tracks that we went to, if you like. But yeah, I wanted to say the second Bahrain one, because Russell was in the Mercedes car, and I enjoyed it so much, apart from obviously what eventually materialised with him in the race, but excusing that factor, I enjoyed it so much watching him. And yeah, there was quite a lot of other mad things that went on in that sort of race, which equally made it more exciting for otherwise what looked like a pretty dull track, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Sergio Perez obviously won the race. Yeah. Esteban Ocon second, Stroll got third. I mean, it's not very often you have a podium with no Red Bull or Mercedes on it. That's a good shout. There was obviously, yeah,
that would be my vote.
Sport for selection. Sakhir sounds, that's a good shout. What do you think, Carl? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's in my top five. but yeah, like, I mean, the British Grand Prix was, I mean, the last laps, the British Grand Prix were mad, weren't they? I mean,
Yeah.
I did watch the highlights again, and in some sense it's just amazing to watch Formula One cars go around, but I bet there's no crowd there at the time, and you imagine what the crowd would have done there. It would have been absolutely mental.
Yeah.
It's hard. I would still stick to Turkish Grand Prix, but Sakhir probably top three probably for me, actually, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you, Rich?
Oh, it's difficult.
After you've gone to Italian, which
you know what, because it was a new track for this year, because we didn't, there's so much unpredictability with who was going to win, there was things going on all over the place because of the rain and the slippery track, I'm going to give it to the Turkish Grand Prix by an inch.
Obviously Lance Stroll podium as well, or not podium, pole position.
Yeah, I mean, Mercedes didn't look anywhere, and then somehow they got to the race, and I mean, one of them was still nowhere, but the other one won.
One was still spinning around. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know what? I'm going to buy a nose, as they say, by a tenth of a second. We're going to give it to the Turkish Grand Prix, to our race of the season, with the Sakhir following up with several others, because there were so many to choose from.
Fair enough. Yeah, I can't argue with that, to be fair.
Cool. Turkish Grand Prix. Bahrain can probably win it next year, whereas Turkey probably won't. But nice. Okay, first award done. Second award of the season, what we need to do is the overtake of the season. So the best overtake we saw.
I'll jump in straight with this, because as soon as I read that, the one that springs immediately to mind, for me at least, and I'm sure there was probably some equal ones or maybe even somewhat better, but was Russell's overtake on Bottas, of course, in the Sakhir Grand Prix.
You know what, I 100% agree with you. I was hoping you'd say that.
That was ballsy, and as we all just previously discussed, that for me, if anyone had any doubt, you know, in his abilities, that just proved it right there and then for that kind of 20 seconds that went on.
That was him announcing himself properly to the world.
It was more than just an overtake, wasn't it? It was more than just an overtake, wasn't it? It was kind of, I want your seat. And I'm going to get it soon. And it was just, the whole, sent a message into the world. I don't think anybody else overtook around the outside. It was so bumpy, that bit, wasn't it? To keep the car control. I mean, Valtteri was sort of struggling on old tyres, obviously, following the mistake in the pits. But still, you know, he had no right to go around the outside there. So that would, definitely be my choice.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement then. That's a nice easy one to get overtaken.
I think we should give a mention to Alex Albon. Because he's had a bit of a rough couple of weeks. But I thought some of his overtakes at Mugello around the outside. Did he ever take Danny Ric around the outside to get his first podium? I think he's pretty handy around there. If you can remember that.
I can't remember that, but I will take your word for it.
a few nice little overtakes around the outside.
Cool. So,
give a little shout out to Alex Albon, because he's had a tough time.
that's true. That sounds good. Cool. Russell winner. Albon deserved mention. Nice. I like that one.
I was thinking of other people that, obviously, the first few races, you had last lap Lando, didn't you? He pulled off a few moves. But obviously, I think there's more people making mistakes in front of him and him just taking advantage.
There was a good one. He had a good battle with, I think it was in Belgium against Leclerc, where they were side by side for a while, and Norris just wasn't going to let him through. He was just like, you know, you're not coming through here. He just carried on.
All the Kimi's overtakes at the start of the Portuguese Grand Prix were quite impressive as well, wasn't it?
That's true.
Well, nothing was like spectacular, but just his first lap was pretty impressive.
And then there was Vettel had a good start with several moves at the Italian Grand Prix. I can't remember if it was Mugello or Imola. Or, yeah, the Imola. I can't remember which one it was, but it was the special livery that Ferrari had on their car, and Vettel was really, you know, throwing it around.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's, yeah, good. Some good overtakes, but I think George is the one that stands out for us. Maybe we're biased. Cool. So, next award, the drive of the season. So, the person who drove the best race.
To be honest, I was kind of thinking Lewis Hamilton's efforts in Turkey, really. You know, we kind of touched on this, I know already, but just his efforts in that, in a race where Mercedes was nowhere, like Carl said. Nobody really expected them to win the race, maybe get on the podium at best, but whilst his teammate was busy going around in circles, and he managed to wring the neck round of that car and get it to win the race and take his seventh title, so that would be the one for me.
No, that's a good shout, actually, because obviously it's one of those races where it was just, you know, as they say, to finish first you have to finish. And that really proved the point, because there was cars spinning off all over the place. And he kept it on the track, and of course he was duly rewarded for it. What about you, Carl? Any other shouts?
Yes. That's Perez, Sakir. In fact, he last the first lap after the incident.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of others that sort of didn't win the race, but I don't know. Had a really good, didn't win the race, but had a good, hell of a race. I mean, Perez was pretty consistent all the season. You sort of look back on the record and his fourth in Nürburgring, I think it was pretty impressive. I mean, Charles Leclerc had a good few races, didn't he? He came third in the first Silverstone Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Which I can't really remember, but that must have been a hell of a drive to get a Ferrari into third position there when his teammate finished 10th in the same race.
The very first race of the season in Austria, he qualified 7th and he ended up 2nd.
Yes.
So he had some good drives.
At the time, we probably didn't realise how impressive that was, but he sort of, as the season went on and you saw how bad Ferrari were, that's pretty damn good.
And then, of course, we had Gasly in Italy, the race he won. He started 10th position and ended up winning.
Yeah. And Sainz was really good that race, wasn't he? Because was he second for most of that? Because Bottas dropped back, didn't he, at the start?
Yeah, he was.
Sainz was up there. He was pretty quick all weekend, wasn't he?
Yeah, Sainz qualified 3rd for that race.
Yeah, I think he probably. I was sort of kind of hoping he'd win because I thought he deserved it at the time. I mean, Danny Ric had a good couple of podiums, didn't he, which were decent drives. I mean, Verstappen, probably his win in the second Silverstone, when we probably weren't expecting too much, was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
My number one choice would probably be Perez and Sakir.
Yeah. What was the one you suggested, Steve? Was that that was Hamilton, wasn't it?
Hamilton in Istanbul. Ooh. In Turkey.
It's the choice between these two again. Right, you know what? I'm gonna go the other way this time, just because it was last to first. Even with how great Hamilton's achievement was, and we should just say, of course, we should mention back several years ago the person saying that we're not critical enough of Lewis Hamilton. So here you go, this is for you. I'm going to give this award for drive of the season to Sergio Perez, even though Hamilton was outstanding with his drive. I'll give it to Sergio Perez in at the Sakir. Cool. And next award is the Radio Connoisseur of the Season. So this is the person who gave us the best radio messages throughout. Now, I don't know if you guys saw it at all. There was a useful video on YouTube Formula One put up, which was the best radio of 2020. Did you see that at all?
I didn't know. It's the one I was struggling with, to be honest. Should have watched it.
Same. Yeah, I was struggling with that, really.
No, I watched the video, and to be honest, I'm still struggling, because there was actually quite a lot of people who gave us some brilliant radio messages. Kimi Raikkonen back to his, you know, well, I say back, he was his usual self on the radio. We had, obviously, Lando Norris and Carlos Sainz, both of them, and the McLaren obviously gave us some real moments. Vettel even gave us some good moments. Verstappen as well, doing his usual thing. I mean,
yeah.
Was there any you guys remember that stood out?
Yeah, but I think that relates to the next question, rather than the current one. But I don't know. There's nothing really that particularly stands out, other than maybe just like an old comment, an old race, rather than somebody who gave us something continuous throughout the season, to be honest. That was the one I was really struggling with that to think of earlier when reading the questions.
I did enjoy Verstappen's in the second Silverstone Grand Prix, when he I think he's behind the two Mercedes at the start, and they sort of just, you know, back off, look after your tyres, and he was sort of like, no, I need to take it to him now. You know, I'm this close, I've got an opportunity. But that was pretty cool, I thought. Also, Sainz in Monza, I think when he's trying to chase down Gasly, I think he's, I don't know who he's behind at the time, but they sort of, I think he's an engineer trying to sort of play it safe, and you know, you've got plenty of time, and he's like, no, I haven't got time, I want to chase down Gasly. And that sort of racing spirit was pretty cool to hear.
I mean, there's a couple that stood out for me. There was Lando in Austria, when he was obviously, I think he was fourth at the time. And obviously Hamilton got his 5 second penalty, so Lando just needed to be within 5 seconds to get a podium. And his team were on the radio telling him, Hamilton, 5 second penalty, go, go. And then Lando was pushing it, and they kept him up to date with the gap, and he crossed the line, and it was like, you know, 4.8 seconds, and you could hear the joy that came out, and obviously they're just excited. And then of course the other one that stood out for me was Silverstone, when Hamilton, his tyre went, and the team were like, it's yeah. 30 seconds, okay, 25 seconds, 20, 50, counting it down, he's getting closer and closer to the line, it's all edgy, you're like, oh, is he going to do it? He crosses and you hear the team cheering, like, that's it, you've done it, and it's like, is that the last lap? He didn't even, it was just the confusion, and basically, we were all feeling at home, that excitement, that kind of on edge, that kind of disastrous moment. And of course, you know, hearing the team going through the same thing.
That's good. Yeah, it's a good show, that, Rich. Yeah, that came down was, yeah, the drama that added to the whole like, last lap was, it's a good show, that, Rich.
Yeah. Shall we give it to Hamilton on this time? And Hamilton and Bono.
Yeah.
We all like a bit of Bono, don't we?
Yeah. Mr. Calm.
Hamilton and Bono, Silverstone. Cool. That is the radio connoisseur of the season. Nice. I like that one. Our next one, Steve, obviously you were hinting to this a little while ago, our rage of the season. So who had the biggest moment of anger?
Max Verstappen. He generally, for me, is Mr. Angry. It's pretty much most radio calls, he's got some sort of a strop on. But I can't, at this moment in time, I can't particularly think of any particular race which stands out more than others, but it is most races where he's whinging about something or other.
There's like a good whinge in free practice, doesn't he? Cars getting in the way or whatever.
Because he had quite a few instances where I think he wasn't, one weekend where he crashed into someone or somebody crashed into him through not paying attention to their mirrors in practice.
That was him and Stroll, wasn't it, in Portugal?
Yeah, like was on Lenten, the I think it was Stroll wasn't paying attention and I think he was on his radio or something like that and turned in and Verstappen assumed he had seen him, and they just completely piled into each other.
And then, yeah, and Stroll did something similar in the or tried to in the race, didn't he, with Norris, I think, that first corner. But
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it was definitely Friday, wasn't it? A little collision.
Yeah, you can do that when your dad owns the team.
There was another one that I remember, which was quite funny, and that was Raikkonen, and that was at Silverstone, and he said to the team, "Should I come in or not?" And they said, "Yes, come in." So we came into the pit lane, and he was on the entrance. They go, "No, stay out." Just on the radio, "It's too late now. There's no way that was a good call coming in." He was just shouting down there. He was not happy then. He was not happy.
I remember old Charlie Lee Clark, at the end of the Turkish Grand Prix, was it? made a mistake on one of the last few corners, or tried to say it went wrong, didn't he? And he was just there like, "Oh, good race, Charles." He's like, "No, that was beep, 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 beep." Beep, beep, and you're like, "Right, calm down, son, you know." I didn't come off, you know.
Yeah.
But he was proper angry at himself.
His "I am stupid" line.
That was it? Yes, yeah, that was it, yeah. I am stupid. He's incredibly harsh to himself, isn't he, old Charlie?
Oh, you know what, that was quite a good one, actually, that rage. The moment of anger when he was so angry with himself.
He just sort of stopped, didn't he? And he pretty much stopped on track just to have a little tantrum. It's quality.
Yeah, he had a pretty good season as well, Charles. Yeah. Considering everything that went on.
Yeah, he was especially his qualifying.
Yeah.
And he's putting that Ferrari in places that it didn't deserve to be, as Vettel showed.
Yeah,
I thought it was a really good year for him. Still makes a few little mistakes, which he's got to get rid of to win a championship. But I think he's definitely in the. After this season, he's definitely, in my eyes, he's sort of definitely top three drivers on the grid.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know what, I think we'll give this award to him, Rage of the Season. That can go to Charles Leclerc for his post-Turkey radio comments.
Awesome.
Yeah, his tantrum. Cool, and that brings us on to our last award. And this award is the Maldonado Moments of the Season. So the biggest or best fail. I've got something in mind, but I'll let you guys go first. Any nominations you want to throw into the ring?
I watched a few of the races, like little highlights back, and I'd sort of forgotten about it because it was during the Russian Grand Prix, which most of the time everybody forgets sort of a few days afterwards. But it still made me laugh out loud as it did at the time, was when, you know, I call it the first corner, technically it's the second, third corner, isn't it, before they go around the loop as such. And they had the runoff area, didn't they? And you had to go around they put some little posts out, didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the first lap or second lap. It was Carlos Sainz, I don't know if you can remember.
Yes, how you say that.
He was slightly wide, wasn't he? And then he just absolutely pelted it. And it just went smash straight into the wall. And it was just such a rookie mistake, but it still makes me laugh when I see it. It's just so random. It's like,
I've gone wide, I'll kick my foot in. Oh shit, there's a wall there.
And I think also, you nearly took out Norris as well, didn't you? You nearly took out your teammate with the flying bits coming off. But it was just the most random bit, like, "Yeah, I'm still on it. Oh no, it's a wall." You're like, from who? He didn't really get season colour signs, but that was a bit of a bit of a black mark against him.
No, that's a good shout. Steve, you got anyone in mind?
I'd actually forgotten about that, and that is a pretty good show. But the one I had in mind, and I can't remember which Grand Prix it was at, but it was where we had a safety car out, and whilst they're obviously all trundling around under safety car speeds, unfortunately George Russell completely lost it and binned it straight into a wall.
It was Imola, wasn't it?
Was it? I couldn't really remember.
You've done a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. I think it was just kind of like weaving, in, as they do to keep the brakes and all the temperatures up, and just completely lost control of the car at no speed and just went straight into the barriers. So that was one that stuck out for me. But actually, yeah, the other one you mentioned, I completely forgot about that. That's a pretty good show.
Yeah, that's good. And the one I had in mind was of course, I don't want to bring back bad memories for us all, but Mercedes pit stop shenanigans in Sakhir, you know, we don't need a reminder of what exactly happened, because we know, of course. But that,
yeah,
it was just for a team of how good they are and everything, it wasn't really acceptable, was it? It was just mad.
Yeah, it's a dreadful mistake, wasn't it? I mean, they are, you could argue, the best teams ever in Formula 1. But that was just hard to watch, wasn't it? You sort of wanted to close your... Obviously, a lot of us in the podcast were, you know, also cheering on local boy George, but it was just the... yeah, that was sort of pillow over the face, and, oh, this is just so hard to watch. But I just felt sorry for Bottas, you know. You come in for a pit stop, sit there for half a minute, whatever it was, and you still go out in the same tyres you came in on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you wouldn't want that, would you?
No. I'm trying to think of some other mistakes. Leclerc crashed into Vettel, didn't he, early on in one of the Austrian races, and the which was...
a bit awkward.
Yeah, a bit awkward at the time.
I think
Verstappen.
Sorry?
Was it Verstappen in Hungary?
Yeah, before the race, of course, he went off, didn't he?
Yeah. He was quite lucky with that one, wasn't he?
Cool, yeah, that's true.
To race.
Yeah. I think Sainz is going to be the one that edges it in Russia, just keeping his foot in it and sticking it in the wall.
Oh, no. Damn it, wall.
Yeah, I'd go with that, actually. That is a pretty good one, to be fair. I'd go with that.
Yeah. Cool. Carlos Sainz gets the award. He had a pretty good season as well, obviously. But nice. Well, that is all our awards wrapped up, I think. So we'll do our usual thing, and we will quickly go on and we'll talk about the latest Formula One news, because since the last podcast there's been a few things that have come out. Let me just write something down quickly. So, yeah, latest news. There's been a few things that have come out. Nikita Mazepin, he's obviously been in the news. There's been a lot of kind of protests and a lot of talk about his off-track actions. Understandably, we're not going to go into it in detail. But Haas have confirmed today, they have reaffirmed him as their driver for next season. They've reaffirmed their driver lineup. So it looks like he's keeping his seat. Red Bull have confirmed that they are going to sign Sergio Perez next season in replace of Alex Albon, who drops to be their reserve driver. Now, we need to talk about this, guys. Obviously, Albon's had a bit of a tough season. He's lost his drive. To be honest, I'm not that surprised. I'm quite pleased to see Perez given a chance in the top team. But do you think Albon will be back in future? I mean, we've seen other drivers in the past who have been dropped and they've come back better. I mean, couple of examples, Nico Hülkenberg and Romain Grosjean, both early in their careers they were dropped from teams and they came back a year or two later and they looked better. Do you think we'll see Albon back?
I think we will see him back, because it's not as if he came straight into a Red Bull seat. You know, obviously he was at AlphaTauri before that. He's had more or less, it was a couple of seasons now at Red Bull, more or less.
Yes, whole of this season. He had half last year. So.
Yeah, that's right. So he's to another team that might possibly be interesting to him. I think probably quite an attractive prospect, being at a top team as well. So I think, yeah, we'll see him back. But who with? Who knows? I can't see him, to be honest, going back yet. In a Red Bull seat, not now. We've got someone of Perez's caliber coming in, and obviously, you know, Verstappen's very much the main man there, really, isn't he? So, no, I can't see him come back in Red Bull, but in a different car, yes, or another team's car, yes, I certainly could.
Yeah. What about you, Carl? Do you think you could see him coming back?
Yeah, I can. I think my prediction, sort of early prediction for 2022. I think it'll be in the AlphaTauri. I think he'll be in there alongside Tsunoda. I can see Gasly wanting to get out, because the fact that Gasly wasn't promoted this year, I kind of think his whole Red Bull dream is over. I don't know if Albon does go back in the AlphaTauri, he's then got the same problem that Gasly is in that. Do Red Bull help Marco trust him enough to go, even if he has an amazing season, say 2022, do they trust him enough to go into the full Red Bull team? But yeah, I can see him back in that role. It was a bit, you know, it's a bit harsh. He's out of a seat. I mean, he didn't have a good year, and I was wondering whether it was a good decision to drop him or not. But then, I think my final decision was made when Perez sort of finished fourth in the championship and Albon was seventh, and when you had the second quickest car, you had to finish in the top four, didn't you? And he didn't, and the bloke that did finish the top four replaced him, so it's kind of fair in that way. But yeah, I think I can see him back in it at some point. I said 2022, and I imagine he's learned a huge amount from this year, and I'm sure he'll be stronger for it.
Yeah.
And he's shown decent, you know, his overtaking and his sort of racecraft looks pretty impressive. It's just, unfortunately, he's having to show that because he's qualified too far down the grid. But, yeah, I'm confident he'll be back.
Cool. Well, all the best to Alex from us. Like you mentioned, Carl, obviously, Yuki Tsunoda, young Japanese driver from F2, he's been confirmed in AlphaTauri next season alongside Gasly. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. What he can do, because it seems he's kind of been put, with no disrespect, it seems that he's kind of been put in that position because Honda wanted a Japanese driver in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well,
expectations for him, do you think he'll have a good season?
I think he's really good. From watching the F2 this year, he's a rookie this year. Did he finish third? The most impressive stat was... obviously, F2, you've got the feature race, haven't you, the Saturday, which is qualified for, and the race on the Saturday, and then the reverse grid on the Sunday. And if he took out the reverse grid races, he would have won the championship based on the feature races. So as a rookie, I think as a 20-year-old, that's pretty impressive. So, I'm looking forward to seeing him. And also, it'd be brilliant to have a Japanese driver in Formula 1 and doing well, because, you know, Japanese fans love Formula 1, and I think, you know, hopefully we can go back to Suzuka next year, and that'd be brilliant to see him there.
Yeah, be interesting to see what he can do. And I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something about him. It's gone. I can't remember. Never mind. But yeah, good luck to Yuki Tsunoda. And the final bit of news we need to mention was from Sunday, just a few days ago. Lewis Hamilton won this year's Sports Personality of the Year. Fully deserved, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wondered whether he would get it because he got it back in 2014. And I think he was kind of expecting to get it in the sort of years gone by, considering, you know, his success in the last sort of five or six years, but yeah, no, I think it was fully deserved, really, because that award is not really so much to a point as your success in your sport, but sort of how you represented yourself. You know, he's a great ambassador to the sport, but there's so much more that he does as well outside of it. You know, with all of the things that he's quite passionate about, that he you know, he sort of promotes as well. So yeah, I think I did kind of think whether he would get it because he's, you know, he hasn't managed to get it in recent years when we probably expected he would. But yeah, no, I think that's been thoroughly deserved. And I think given that he got his obviously seventh title this year and it's equaled the record, I think it probably would have been a bit strange for him not to have got it.
Yeah.
In my book. So yeah, it's probably not so surprising, really, but no, I think thoroughly deserved, completely thoroughly deserved in my book.
Yeah, absolutely, couldn't agree more. I think that's all the latest news. Anything else you guys are aware of?
No, not really. Obviously, the Mercedes news, the Toto Wolff signed for another 3 years, and there's been a bit of the shareholding of the team has changed slightly, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So now got owned a third each by Toto Wolff, Ineos, which is interesting. They seem to be getting more and more involved in sport. For a company I never heard of a year or two ago. And Daimler own the other third, don't they? So interesting to see how that where that goes in the next few years. That sort of that ownership and where that develops. But I think we're expecting, obviously with Toto's signing for another 3 years, I think we're expecting Mr. Hamilton to confirm his contract pretty soon. Obviously he's still waiting to hear from that, aren't we? But in theory the world champion may not be in the grid next year, but I'm sure he will be.
Yeah, he has said today or yesterday, I think it was, that he's going to get that sorted within the coming days.
Okay.
But given that, you know, we're obviously only a couple of days away from Christmas, I'm sure that's probably the last thing you really want to be doing. But but then again, I guess with everything going on, he might just be at home in Monaco. I don't know. But yeah, no, that was the bit of news that I saw come through. I was just wondering, just a quick question for you guys on the Mercedes sort of selling off of shares. Do you think that it's more in line with the changes that are taking place in 2022 in terms of like the budget caps and things?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's less, I mean, Mercedes have bankrolled year on year masses amount of money to go into that Formula One team, and the cost cap brings it down to, is it something like 150 million a year or something they're allowed to spend in from 2022 season? Or I don't think it's 100 million, but I think it's about 150. And I think Mercedes have always been reportedly sort of spending about 325, maybe 350. So I don't know whether it's maybe to do with that. It's less money that sort of the Daimler side have to put in. Just wonder whether you think it might be possibly more linked to that.
I imagine so. It's also quite interesting the fact they've only had to put a third in, but they kind of get all the praise out of it. So I'm sure the Ineos name must be involved more next year. That's not on the car and stuff. They're putting a fair amount of money into it. And
Because the team... Because when I first read about this, I thought, oh, are we going to start seeing, like, the team name slightly changed, like Mercedes, Ineos, but the team name is still remaining AMG Mercedes.
Is Petronas still in the
name? Well, I haven't heard anything, but yeah, it's a good point, because obviously it's quite a big sponsor, isn't it?
I think they plowed quite a bit of money into the team as well, didn't they?
Mm.
I think Petronas are still there. I think they signed a new deal with them last year or the year before.
Yeah.
To remain in the sport. But I mean, like you say, it's going to be interesting. Maybe Ineos are lining up to be Petronas, you know, after Petronas leave or something.
Because you've got the Ineos cycling team, haven't you, which took over from the British Team Sky team, that they have a sponsorship of that.
Yeah.
I think he also owns the Nice Football Club as well. The guy who owns Ineos, Ratcliffe, what was his name? But
maybe he's trying to build a Red Bull style empire.
Yeah, seems like it. Yeah, a
bit better than that other energy drink that came out, were they?
he's trying to buy Sunderland now, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's trying to buy Sunderland now, but that seems to have been delayed. I still haven't seen a can for sale. Still waiting for one. Like walk into my local co-op and finally see a can will be a hell of a day.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a great way to wrap up 2020.
Rich energy.
But no, unless there's anything else, I think that's it.
I can't think of anything. No.
No.
Yeah. Brilliant. No. I mean, the only quick bit of thing that I did see is that Red Bull did consider Hülkenberg instead of Perez. I don't know if you guys saw any of that on some of the feeds.
They said they did have some early talks, didn't they?
Yeah, but although there's no official confirmation as to why they chose Perez, some of the suggestions is it was more sort of age-related. as in terms of sort of looking into the future, because obviously Hülkenberg's probably late 30s now.
So Sergio Perez, I've just looked, is 30 years old.
Yeah.
And Nico Hülkenberg is 33, so yeah, look
like that. Oh, okay. Yeah, so I was thinking he was more like sort of 36, 7, something like that. But yeah, that was the only sort of suggestions on some of the pages that I saw that of. But yeah, they considered interesting. They considered him. But yeah, that's about it, really. That's the only other thing that I could think to mention.
So do we think that's the end of Hülkenberg in Formula 1? Not looking good, is it?
Unless one of the Racing Point drivers gets ill again next season.
The COVID replacement.
Then, yeah.
Hopefully we won't need too many of them next year.
Yeah, hopefully. Hope so. But we'll soon see. But
Seems difficult for a driver to be out possibly 2 years and to come back. It's quite difficult to come back in Formula 1 like that, isn't it? But,
yeah.
I think to be honest, he's kind of, for me, he kind of peaked years ago, what feels like seasons ago, and there's so many new drivers coming in now with so much sort of promise that, and that just seems to be where the attention is. You know, he seems to be almost like a forgotten name until, like you say, he kind of crops up as a replacement. And it's like, oh yeah, Nico Hülkenberg. Yeah. But apart from that, he's just not a name that just comes up. You know, when you're directly looking, or a team's directly looking for a driver, they seem to be flocking to, you know, some of these sort of GP2 drivers, F2, and things like that that are up and coming. And quite a few of those actually are sort of signed as reserve drivers anyway. Mm. So I can't really see him coming back, to be honest.
No. Quite young,
just being a reserve driver, yeah.
No, I agree. I think that could be the end of Nico Hülkenberg in Formula 1, especially with a young talent coming through. And, you know, Alex Albon, like we said, potentially available for any other team. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
I hope he got his, test driver contract that he... I hope he gets, if he got a line in there saying he could substitute for somebody else, but they probably wouldn't allow it. But, you know, it'd be quite a handy little line to have in current times.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Well, I think that is everything wrapped up. So we'll finish there. We will return with E275. Wow. Yeah, E275, our season preview, which I suspect will be in March time. So yeah, another 3 months or so, because obviously it's not long till testing starts now. But in the meantime, thank you, Kyle, Steve, for joining me.
Cheers, Rich.
Yeah, no problem.
And of course, thank you to the rest of the crew who have joined throughout the year. It's always appreciated. It's been a funny old season on and off track, but thank you everybody for listening, for your support, and just for being part of this NRF1 community that we've kind of created. All of us here wish you and your families a happy Christmas and all the best for the new year. We'll be back with much more in 2021, and we can't wait for the season already. So thank you again. We'll see you then. Until then, goodbye from the crew.
Cheerio.
And goodbye from me. Goodbye.